Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. I just found out that the last four episodes of the Truth Hurts program may not have posted on time. Problems with the web hosting service. I won't mention their name. Generally a great company. I don't usually have any issues with them. And no, it's not Anchor.fm. Those guys do a great job. Anyway, we'll try and get all of these episodes uploaded as quickly and as efficiently as possible as soon as we get off the highway, get back to an office setting, our Studio 63. My name is Steve Z. We do this little program called The Truth Hurts, where we expose the lies of the left, the double standard of the Democratic Party, the hype, the hypocrisy, and we expose all of the made-up scandals that are going on in the United States of America. It truly is very telling of the intelligence quotient of the bulk of our country when you realize that almost half of the nation is falling for Joe Biden's lies and all of the other garbage that's being peddled to each and every one of us. I mean, let's be realistic for a moment. Do you really, really think that Joe Biden's inflation, you know, inflation that has begun the day Joe Biden took office on fears of what he was going to do to our nation, do you really think that that inflation is not Joe Biden's fault? Not Joe Biden's doing? Had it been Donald Trump in the White House with a first-year inflation number nearing 7% and a second-year inflation number well over 8%, the mainstream leftist, progressive, liberal, woke media would be calling for Donald Trump's head on a stake. And I'm not talking about a porterhouse or a tomahawk. I mean a stake, S-T-A-K-E, as in a wooden spear held out in the public square. But it's Joe Biden. And there's a D for dumbass, I'm sorry, Democrat, behind his name. And therefore, he not only gets a pass, but he gets the entire leftist woke media to rally behind him. To make excuses for his failures, his flubs, his gaffes, his goof-offs, his lies. They make excuses for those mistakes, as they call them. Missteps. Misspoken words. There are less than 1,700 professional football players that are seated on the teams, all together collectively in that league. Less than 1,700. The 13% hyphenated American minority makes up 43 million Americans. Talk about a dream that does not come true for many, 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 many in that 13% hyphenated American minority. That dream instilled into the moms and the grandmoms' everyday teachings to their children is a pipe dream, a lie. Don't worry about learning how to speak English. You speak English, you get into the man. You be giving in to the man. Instead, who care about CAT? Who care? As long as you can say cat or dog, you all right. You don't have to spell it. Only time you have to spell it, if you become one of them veterans. You know, the veterinarian, them doctor that works on the cat and the dog. The veterinarian. My God. Meanwhile, Tran Le, the Vietnamese refugee's child, learns to speak English, proper English, to pronounce, to enunciate, to articulate, to form complete sentences, to complete the word, to see that a word like important has a T in the middle of it, and pronounce that T. The word is important, my friends. It's not important. Important is not a word. And yet, more and more, for some reason, even in the vapid, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, cheerleading white girl world, they too now are starting to mispronounce words like mitten, kitten, button, mutton, important. You hear it all the time.
I'm on campus, and everybody loves me because I have blonde hair and blue eyes, except the black girls. They want my blonde hair and blue eyes, but they can't have it because of genetics. So, like, you know, they do weaves and stuff. But anyway, I'm off the topic. And something important I want to tell you is my mother got me a kitten for Christmas and a new sweater with 14 buttons. Oh, and I'm going to vote Democrat.
That's what you hear. And on the streets, the lesser educated white boys. We used to have a word for them that rhymed with bigger and started with a W. But we can't say that word because it's racist and it has connotations of an N-word that rhymes with bigger. And so we can't call those white wannabes what we used to call them. That would be racist. Anyway, my friends, why would you choose? And I know the answer, and you know the answer as well. It goes all the way back to Happy Days and Fonzie. And even before that, James Dean and all those types. Girls, for some reason, always want to be with the bad boys. I guess it's rebelling against their own fathers who treated them so well, but they were disrespectful to their fathers. And so they wanted to date a bad boy. And these days, the bad boys are just like they were 40, 50, 60 years ago. The bad boys who didn't study, who picked on the kids who got an education, who picked on the kids and bullied them, and they thought it was cool. And the cheerleaders laughed while the bad boys, the bullies, picked on the weaker kid with the button-down shirt and the pocket protector and the glasses, called them nerds and losers. And generation after generation after generation, for some reason, young girls never learn the lesson that when the bad boy grew up, he was usually abusive. He became abusive to the cheerleader girls. He couldn't hold down a job because he was a bully and his anger issues would get the best of him. He couldn't hold down a job and provide. And meanwhile, those nerds, those guys with the button-down Oxford shirts and the pocket protectors and the glasses, they went on to college and got an education. Or they went out into the world and learned how to do things properly. They worked hard. They succeeded. They applied the same ethic, work ethic that they had in school to their work life. They didn't just phone it in, toe the line, do the bare-ass minimum, the BAM method. Nope, those nerds, those geeks, they went on to become the presidents and vice presidents of their companies. They were the ones with the big houses and the nice neighborhoods that the cheerleaders, now well past their beauty prime, well past their tight little taut bodies, those girls are now envying the nerds, the geeks, because the nerds and the geeks went on to be able to afford style and fashion and LASIK surgery for their eyes. Maybe the braces their moms bought them as young kids have them now with straight teeth. And they can spell cat and dog and anti-disestablishment antarianism and other large words. Ah, yes, another ding. Yes, the nerds succeeded. Beauty faded with the cheerleaders, and they go to their 20-year high school reunion wondering what the hell I could have been with the guy that just drove up in the McLaren, or the Lamborghini, or the Bugatti, or that nice Mercedes. Instead, perfect timing. Instead, here I am with Joe Bob, the bully. He's fat, half his teeth are missing, his hair's gone. He's lazy, he's beat me down a time or three.
But by golly, I sure do love him.
Yes, my friends, the world is a fickle place. And I've gotten off of topic here for a minute, but I'm going to try and steer the ship back to where we were. The 13% hyphenated minority. The people who refuse to conform. Who refuse to work within our system. Who buck our system at every possible conceivable turn are the same ones who sit there with their hands out begging for more. Please, sir, can I have some more? They're begging for more, and it is you and I that have to give that to them. It is you and I that are forced to provide them with free meals, free housing, free medical care. Free this, free that, free everything else. Free, my friends, is a lie. Free, F-R-E-E, is a dirty four-letter F word. Because what might be free for a member of that 13% hyphenated American minority who takes, and never contributes anything positive, that is that it is you and I, the working people, the ones who did succeed, the ones who did work hard in school to accomplish and achieve. It is you and I that people like Barack Hussein, Barry Sotero, Obama expect to spread our wealth around. We're supposed to simply work hard, succeed, achieve, accomplish, and then give up that which we earned rightfully to people who refuse, to people who stand by and say, no, I deserve, because my great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy might have been a slave 450 years ago. There hasn't been slavery in this country in well over 150 years. No slavery, none. Not in the traditional sense of the word slavery as we know it. That has not existed in this nation for well over 150 years, and yet, generation after generation after generation of the descendants of people who might have been slaves, because remember, not every single black person in America was a slave. Many black people in this nation owned slaves themselves. That's the ugly truth that they, the 13% hyphenated American minority, and the Democratic Party, that's the ugly truth they do not want you to know. Oh, to even mention it, you're a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, a transphobe, or whatever. Anytime you mention the truth about a lie that is being propagated by one of these minority groups, somehow you are the bad guy for speaking the truth, no matter how much the truth may hurt those individuals. It is the Democrat Party who keeps telling the black community.
Ooh, you said black.
Yes, the 13% hyphenated American minority. It is the Democratic Party who has, for as long as I have been alive, since the 1960s for certain, it is the Democrat Party who has lied to that particular 13% crowd and told them, this is all you are gonna get. And it's because the Republicans won't let us give you more. When Social Security was first conceived of, contrived, invented, Social Security was supposed to be a non-touchable account, a lock box, a locked box, as it was called. A person gets up every morning, straps on his work boots, goes to work in some factory, some construction site, some commercial business, some enterprise, works, and a small portion of their paycheck was taken out and put into this locked box to earn interest, to be invested by the law of large numbers. And then, after you put in 30 years at your job, spend the better part of your adult life working diligently, that money, with its compounded interest growing over those 3 decades, would be there waiting for you, because the government didn't trust you enough to save a portion of your own money throughout your life, and the government did not want to ever be put in a situation where it had to take care of its citizens. The government did not, in its wisdom at that time, think that they should have to take care of your medical needs, your housing needs, your food needs in your elder years. So they allowed you to contribute part of your hard-earned income and place it into that system where it would earn interest and grow. And then at the end of your life, you could draw that money out, because towards the end of your life, you no longer need as much as you need when you're trying to raise children. And once your children are already gone and grown and contributing their own portion into that system, that self-propagating, self-perpetuating system, your portion, placed in there 30 years prior, having earned interest and grown, would be there for you to draw from each and every month. But the Democrats, desperate to maintain control of the House and of the Senate, maintain control of the presidency through the years, they started abusing your hard-earned money that was invested in Social Security. They started giving it to people who refused to work. Someone with a hangnail who says, oh, I can't use my hand because I had a hangnail and I'm disabled now. People who got corrupt doctors to write disability notes for them through the years and give them handicap placards to drive their raggedy cars through town. That's the abuse of the left. That is what the Democratic Party has done to this nation, and actually done to the 13% hyphenated minority, because they are now satisfied with the subsistence living level foisted upon them by the Democrat Party. My friends, I've run out of time for this Monday edition of the Truth Hurts program. Tomorrow is Election Day. Make damn sure that you go out and vote, and vote out these Democrat scumbags. And we'll see you on the next program. Bye-bye. Yes, my friends, Joe Biden is a failure by every measurable metric, by every data point that you can possibly examine. He tries to take credit for the return to the workforce of about 6 million people over a 2-year period of time. Now, he can't take credit for that. Those people were out of work, desperate, trying desperately to feed their families. So they, when their unemployment benefits expired, when their stimulus money dried up, those unemployed people who were not willing to settle for a pittance on food stamps, who were too proud to go out and seek Section 8 housing, those who were desperate to stay in the homes that they had purchased prior to Joe Biden's disastrous economy, those people swallowed their pride and took jobs in other fields for less money just to make ends meet. And for many, ends have not met. As I've told you time and time and time again here on the Truth Hurts program, the first 12 months of Joe Biden's presidency, if you were employed during that entire period of time, the first 12 months of Joe Biden's presidency, you worked 12 months and got paid for 11. At 8.3% inflation, if you do the simple math, 8.3% inflation over a 12-month period of time means you actually worked 12 months and got paid for 11 months when you look at your buying power compared to when Donald Trump was your president. Did I like Donald Trump? Did I think he was cool? Did I think he was a great guy? No. I thought Donald Trump was an egotistical, arrogant, cocky, self-righteous prick. But that's what our nation needed after 8 years of being lied to by Barack Hussein, Barry Sotero, Obama. For those of you who don't get that reference, if you look at Mr. Obama's Harvard student ID, he went by the AKA, the also known as, the alias, the pseudonym, the nom de plume, Barry Sotero, his actual Kenyan given name, you know, from where he was born in Kenya, to a Kenyan father and a deranged white woman. Yes, Barry Sotero, also known as Barack Hussein Obama, is the reason why our nation began to fall in the eyes of the world. We were no longer feared because Barack Hussein Obama, with Joe Biden the pervert in tow as his vice resident, Barry Sotero, Barack Hussein Obama, spent 8 years apologizing for America, bowing down before world leaders, prostrating himself before other world leaders, basically telling the world, we're not the superpower we claim to be. We are very much afraid of all of you. And then Donald Trump came along when we needed him. No, I didn't like him. I didn't like him on The Apprentice. Thought he was a prick. But he was a businessman, and that is what this nation needed. A strong negotiator. One who would not back down. One who rightfully told other nations to whom we were giving away our treasury, hey, we're protecting you. The least you could do, NATO, nations within NATO, the least you can do, and I do mean the very least you could do, is do what Barry Sotero, Barack Hussein Obama, wanted all of us Americans to do. Pay your fair share. You see, the Democratic Party, my friends, only wants people to pay their fair share when those people are successful Republican businesses. They want the successful Republican business owners to simply stop making a profit and start paying their employees more and more and more. But not only their employees, no sir. They want those successful Republican business owners to give up their profits so that the government can redistribute those profits to lazy, non-working parasites, the mosquitoes that suck the blood out of our nation's productivity, out of our nation's economy, out of our nation's treasury. Those lazy, welfare-sucking, food stamp-using, WIC-using, Section 8 housing abusing, welfare, Social Security, supplemental income abusing, fake, phony, disability abusing parasites.
But Steve Z, that is racist.
How can it be racist when I never mentioned a single race? I never even hinted or intimated at a single race. You are reading something into what I said, which is okay, because you're probably reading into it correctly. By percentage, the vast, overwhelming, yes, thank you, vast, overwhelming majority of those on the government dole, on the government teat, suckling from our systems that were designed to give people a temporary hand up, but have now generationally abused that system, living generation after generation after generation on public assistance, never once trying to go out in the real world, get a job, contribute to society. The vast overwhelming percentage of those individuals suckling like mosquitoes, like ticks, like maggots off of the government system come from 13% of our nation's population demographic. 13% hyphenated American minority. They are the ones at the top of the percentage who refuse to become part of the America that they have supposedly lived in for over 450 years, and yet, unlike their Vietnamese counterparts, that 13% hyphenated American minority, for the most part, just listen to any of the football players or the basketball players, they cannot speak English. Nah, me, know what I'm saying? You're... Why can't they speak English? Because their moms, their grandmoms, their great-grandmoms told them, don't you dare speak their English, white man English, because then you become Uncle Tom. And when you become Uncle Tom, you be done gave in to the man that's keeping his thumb down on your head. The really funny part to me, the thing that makes me chuckle inside, is that the same 13% hyphenated American minority is ignorant enough, stupid enough, vapid enough, I can't even find another word to describe it. They fall for the lies of the left every single generation. They tell you things like, the Republicans are trying to keep you down. The Republicans want you to stay on the plantation. My friends, the plantation is welfare. The plantation is Section 8 housing. The plantation is Social Security supplemental income. The plantation is dependence on WIC and food stamps. Because when the vast majority of those individuals were sitting in the public school classroom next to Trong Ly, the South Vietnamese refugee's child, or sitting next to Michael Schmidt, the German refugee's child, or sitting next to Giuliani Antonio Mastrantonio, the Italian immigrant's child, or sitting next to Mark Smith, the British child, or sitting next to, I don't know, Julio Gonzalez, the Mexican immigrant's child. When the 13% hyphenated minority student was sitting in that classroom, learning that C-A-T spells cat, D-O-G spells dog, instead of going home and studying, he decided it was much more important to go and break dance on the street or try and string together some words that be done rhyme and makes himself a rapper. Or his grandmama told him, you grab that football and you play football till you become a successful NFL star. I'm going to take an aside here for just a moment, my Truth Hurts program listeners. Just for a moment. On a 53-man roster in the National Football League, times 32 teams, opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music provided by Jason Shaw and Audionautix.